Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study.
Evening, family. How you doing tonight? Enjoying the cold weather out there? And in fact, I'm really proud of you guys. I see how many people are fending the cold outside. I'm impressed, man. I wasn't sure anybody was going to sit there at all, I'll tell you. Well, tonight, like you said, we're going to be in chapter 3 of Ephesians. And I'll tell you, our study tonight is just so very apropos for the season because it's filled with mystery. It's filled with intrigue and conflict and God's resolution. But before we go any further, let's seek the Lord's help, shall we? Heavenly Father, Lord, without you, we got nothing. I'm just saying, if we didn't have your word for you to reveal yourself to us, Lord, we wouldn't know which way to walk, how to stand firm. Father, we would not know the salvation of your Son. So, Father, we just ask that you be with us here tonight. Truly be our teacher as we run through this very beautiful book in Ephesians. Father, lead us and guide us in your ways and be our teacher tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Ephesians chapter 3. To start off, how many of you guys enjoy a good mystery book? Good mystery book, yeah? I know I grew up on a series called The Hardy Boys. Any Hardy Boys? Any, do you guys even know what that is? Nancy Drew? Okay, some of you Nancy Drew. Got it. How about the classics? Sherlock Holmes. Yeah, you know Sherlock Holmes, right? Agatha Christie. And then there were none. How about Maltese Falcon? Can't forget that one. And Murder on the Orient Express, The Death on the Nile. And my kids, of course, always enjoyed The Great Mouse Detective, which is kind of a mouse that was playing Sherlock Holmes. And this is the whole point of this thing, that although in every mystery, there's some type of unknown. In fact, there's an unknown that the author gives you little clues here and there. And it's unknown until the author of the book reveals that mystery little by little to the reader. Well, I'll tell you, our author tonight is God. And he has a big mystery that he's going to reveal to the church there in Ephesus. In fact, it's a mystery that has caused some great confusion, in fact, in the church of Ephesus. It's caused a lot of conflict in the church of Ephesus. You might remember in chapter 1, Paul begins to describe how to best understand this mystery. Paul says, "Remember who you guys are." Now, Caleb did a wonderful job teaching this, and he taught us three things. Do you kind of remember that teaching? He said, remember first that you were chosen. That was in verse 4. He said, remember that you have been redeemed in verse 7. And number 3, he said, remember that you have been sealed, verse 13. Notice that this is the complete work of the triune nature of God. First thing you see, the work of the Father. You were chosen by the Father from the foundations of the world. Then you have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And lastly, your faith is sealed by the Holy Spirit. Our lives are literally branded for life as a child of God. Paul says the first thing to remember when you're trying to understand a mystery is to remember who you are. You are chosen, redeemed, and your life is sealed by the Holy Spirit. These are what he calls the riches of the glory of his inheritance and the exceeding greatness of his power that Paul speaks of in verse 18 and 19. Now in chapter 2, Brandon, if you were here last week, he did a little quick outline, and he said, you have to look, first he said, look at what God has done. Then he said, secondly, look why God has done that. He said, first look at what God has done, then look, why did God do that? In other words, man, God has a plan, doesn't he? With your life, through the mysteries of life, we learn that the biggest reason that God does anything, though, is because he loves us. That's why he made us alive. That's why we are rich in his mercy, so that in the ages to come, he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. Paul says in chapters 1 and 2, when you're having problems understanding God's mysteries, remember who you are. And remember that God has a plan. And God's plan will always bring all of his children under one roof. God always seeks to unify his children and restore relationships. That's why Paul writes in verse 13 of chapter 2, he says, you who were once far off have now been brought near by the blood of Christ. Both Jews and Gentiles are now reconciled with God the same way, not by works, but by God's grace. And in verse 8, Paul wrote, by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of work, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, his poema, right? His creation of a masterpiece, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God's gift of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone was now available to all men, Jew and Gentile alike. But see, this gospel message, it brought both conflict and mystery into the early church, especially there in Ephesus. The Gentile believers were feeling great pressure from their Jewish brothers and sisters in the Lord to become Jews first before they were considered true Christians. For the Jewish Christians, they were left with a complete mystery. They said, God, what are you doing? I thought we as a Jewish culture, I thought we were the chosen race. What's to become of our traditions, of our customs? If there's no more sacrifices and rituals required, how do we worship? In fact, where do we worship? You can see the mystery unfolding. And now, starting in chapter 3, Paul will explain the mystery of the church. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. Paul begins, for this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, and has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. Paul begins explaining the mystery of the church by first explaining a little mystery of what's going on in his life. Paul begins saying, for this reason, for what reason? Paul's speaking of the reason that Brandon talked about last week, that the Jews and the Gentiles have now been united as one in Christ. In other words, God wanted one body of Christ in Jews and Gentiles. For this reason, he's saying this. He says, now remember, Paul is speaking from a prison in Rome. Perhaps many of the Ephesians were asking Paul, man, what are you doing in jail? In fact, Paul, what possible good could God accomplish by allowing yourself to be arrested? Paul writes, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, for saying that to the world." Paul's saying to the world that although it looks like I'm a prisoner to Rome, in reality, God is fully in charge of every situation. God is sovereign over all areas of our life. Paul says, man, if I'm a prisoner to anyone, I'm a prisoner to Christ Jesus for you Gentiles. Paul considered his circumstances to be completely controlled by God's will, and so that all the gospel message could be spread to those Gentiles. I remember Corrie Ten Boom. Do you guys know Corrie Ten Boom? Yeah, Corrie Ten Boom. She wrote a book, and she wrote this. And she wrote, wherever she was, that was the exact place that God wanted her to take the gospel message. And that included the concentration camps there in Germany. May this also be our heart. Wherever God takes us on our journey, wherever he places us, may we bring the light of Jesus. May we bring that gospel message. And that's what Paul was doing there in a prison cell in Rome. To the world, it looked like Paul was just in another Roman prison. But Paul knew that he was there by God's will. There in the prison, you might remember, he wasn't unproductive, was he? He wrote the prison epistles. He wrote Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and Philemon. And he also said in the book of Philippians that the castle guard were also starting to respond to the gospel. In fact, the whole castle was there in Rome was starting to take on the message, the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And also that God was beginning, while he was in jail, to raise up new leaders. Paul says that my mystery, man, being here in jail, it's not a mystery at all. I am here by God's will alone. And like Corrie Ten Boom, he said, wherever God places me, it's there will bring his good news of salvation. Paul continues in verse 2. He says, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, and has now been revealed by the Spirit to the holy apostles and prophets. You see, Paul, he had a special calling from God on his life. God called him especially to bring the gospel message to the Gentiles. Paul was literally like a gospel dispenser, kind of like a soap dispenser. Only he was dispensing God's grace to the Gentiles. God's special calling from God was to bring this gospel message to the Gentiles, to those that had no idea who God was. But just what is this mystery Paul is talking about? First, we must understand a little thing about a mystery Paul was proclaiming. First thing, that this mystery was not confusing. It was not mysterious. It was not hard to understand. See, the biblical understanding of a mystery is this. It's much more like the reading of a mystery novel, like a biblical mystery. It's something that has not been previously revealed. In other words, a biblical mystery is simply this. It's a truth of God that God, the author, right, has not revealed yet. That's all it is. A biblical mystery is a truth of God that God has not revealed yet. Just like a murder mystery. Those clues might lead you somewhere, But until the truth of that or that word is revealed, you don't know for sure. Paul now begins to describe this new mystery. Listen to how mysterious, though, it sounds. He says, human teachers did not reveal this mystery to Paul, but it was God himself who revealed this mystery to Paul. Secondly, that this mystery was not spoken of anywhere else in the Old Testament. No prophets spoke about it. And it was revealed to no one else in this age, to any other chosen person. But Paul says today, though, look at the bottom. It says, it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. So Paul did receive positive confirmation from Peter and the other apostles that he was to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. But you might be saying right now, so Paul, man, you're killing me, Paul. Tell us what this mystery is. What's this great mystery that God revealed to you? Man, can you feel the suspense? I mean, it's building up in this. This is the mystery, verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given to me by the effective working of his power. Now, at this point, when this letter was being read to the congregation, every Jew would have said, what? Gentiles are considered fellow heirs? What is this man talking about? Gentiles were once considered unclean and defiled, and now they're to be partakers in the same body and partakers of God's promises in Christ? See, God's free gospel of grace turned the Jewish community upside down. But see, to the Gentiles, man, the Gentiles said, hallelujah, man, we don't have to get circumcised. We don't have to go through all those classes and religious ceremonies. So how did this happen? How did this happen? How did this gift of grace come about? One person, right? Jesus. He's the one that made it happen. When Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, see, the temple, the sacrifices and the offerings no longer became the way that man met with God. The temple in Jerusalem was the place where man met with God. It was the place that he offered both sacrifices for sins and love offerings of worship and peace and gratitude. In the temple, you remember that, man, there were many walls in the temple. On the outside, you had the court of the Gentiles. And then as you got closer to the center, you had more walls of that were just for the Jews and just for the men, just for the women. And as you got closer to the center, you had the courts for just the priests. And then in the very center, you had the holy place, the holy of the holies. And only the high priest once a year was allowed to go into this holiest of the holies and to make up an offering to God on Yom Kippur. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, that veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Man now had full access to God. And all those walls that were there, man, they weren't literally, physically torn down. But man, as far as spiritually, those walls were gone. See, at that time, there were only Jews and Gentiles. Now, Jews and Gentiles that became Christians came together and now were called the church. God unified his church this way. Because of Jesus, man now has 24/7 access to God. But not only that, the Holy Spirit now dwells inside the life of every believer. Now our bodies are the very temple of the Holy Spirit. God's new temple was resurrected in us. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, that, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Now, the physical temple one day in 70 AD would be destroyed permanently, and the Jews would never build it back up. For us Christians, there's really no need for it anymore. We meet Jesus every time we get together, every time we pray, every time we have fellowship, every time we worship God. We meet with God in this place. We are literally a new creation. That's what the church is. That was the great mystery that God revealed to the early church so that all of God's children could be unified in Jesus. And this unification created a new entity called the church. Much like Brandon taught last week, the mystery of reconciliation is what God did. But why? But why would God wait so long to reveal this mystery? And why does that have to be so loud? And this is why. Verse 8. Turn with me to verse 8. As I'm waiting for it to go down. Here's why. Paul writes in verse 8. "To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery from which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ, to the extent now," and here's the main point, "that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him." Paul says humbly in verse 8 that he considered himself almost unworthy, almost unqualified to carry this gift of grace to the Gentiles. In fact, Paul said that, "I would have chosen myself last," probably because he remembered who he was. He was a persecutor of Christians before Jesus got him, before Jesus met him on that road and taught him, you know, all about God's gift of grace. And yet, even though Paul was a sinner in those days, all of us, man, we're all saved the same way. All of us have that great need for a Savior before we meet with Jesus. Paul was no different. But we accept Jesus into our lives. When we do that, we are this new creation. Truly, the old things have passed away, and God makes all things new. Paul stated that this gospel of grace to the Gentiles contained unsearchable, that is, endless riches and eternal value through Jesus Christ. And here's that main point in verse 10, that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known. So why did God wait until now or then to reveal this mystery? Well, God saw that the perfect timing in history was perfect. It was the perfect age to accomplish his will for his purposes. Remember what Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. He writes, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then you are an heir of God through Christ. See, in the fullness of time, God sent his son. So why did God wait until now to reveal this mystery? God saw the perfect timing in history, the perfect time when the people's hearts were prepared for Jesus, perfect time that he could fulfill all the prophecies for Jesus. The timing was perfect. The fullness of time had come, so God sent his son to redeem and unite his people. The mystery, though, Paul says, was much more than it just appeared. Paul said that God waited so that the manifold wisdom of God might be known. That manifold word means multifaceted. You might say that God sees things from all angles. God knows the beginning from the end. He knows the outcomes in our mysteries of life. And God wants his wisdom to be seen throughout all of heaven and earth. That way we can have boldness and confidence in what he is doing. That's why Paul says in verse 13, therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart in my tribulations in what I am doing for you, which is your glory. Paul trusted completely, man, in God's eternal plan for the church. Therefore, Paul says, have boldness, man. Have confidence in your mysteries and struggles, Ephesians. Do not lose heart. As you may see me suffering in prison because of you, have boldness. Have confidence. It's all part of God's multifaceted wisdom. Paul says, God is the author of this mystery. This is all according to his plan. Which takes us to the main point of our teaching tonight. The bottom line is all of us have mysteries in our life, don't we? We have times in our life where we can say, man, I don't get what God is doing right now. Maybe you've been waiting for find that perfect guy, ladies. And man, you've gone through man after man, and you go, man, why God? I just want a godly man in my life. Why can't I find that perfect man? Or men, you can't find that perfect woman that will just help raise you up, be beside you with all you do. Maybe it's a job, financial in your life, mystery of God. You go, God, I'm a hard worker. I'm an honest man. And it seems like I can't seem to keep a job because every time I'm honest with my boss, you know, I'm gentle with him, I'm kind, but I get fired. You know, I won't compromise my values. Why can't I keep a job? We see those questions that we ask about our past. God, why did I have to go through those addictions in my life? Why did I have to struggle in those areas of finances? Man, why is it that every time I get a couple hundred dollars in my bank account that my car breaks down? I just don't get it, God. It happens every time. I don't get it. What are you doing? And especially in the physical, we say, God, I don't get it. Why do godly men and women, why do they get cancer? Why do our children die overseas? Why is there war and hatred out there? The answer to these questions are mysteries to us sometimes, aren't they? We don't have all the answers. But let me assure you, God is not done with your story yet. We go to God in prayer for answers. Sometimes we even beg him to respond. We say, God, what are you doing? I don't get it. Do you guys ever feel that way? Like you're in desperation going, God, I don't know where else to turn to. Well, Paul tells the church in Ephesus, and he tells us tonight, that you can have boldness. You can have confidence in him. It's all part of this multifaceted wisdom of God, where God knows and God sees the beginning from the ending of your story. It might seem like a mystery to you right now, how you're going to survive next month's rent, right? But somehow, God always provides for you. Paul says, don't lose heart when you face the many mysteries and struggles of life. So he gave us these profound words of guidance. And it's all wrapped up here in this last prayer of Paul, starting in verse 14. This is how you understand the mysteries of life. Paul says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Understanding mysteries in our life begins by understanding our posture that we're to have before the Lord. Paul says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father. Our posture, when we come to our Heavenly Father, should always be one of humility. Our posture simply says, you know what, God? You are God and I am not. You alone, God, are the author of my story. I do not write my own story. The author of this mystery, that's who God is. And he reveals his will for me little by little. But he reveals it always in his time, as he sees fit. It's never a quick fix. Well, sometimes it is. Sometimes God provides like that. But rarely is it. I always want to do the quick fixes. I want to do the quick answers. But see, God is our sovereign Lord, and he has both the power and the authority to have his will done on earth. But we have to first be humble as God's children. Understanding mysteries begins with humility. Verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. And here's Paul's point. To understand the mysteries of life, find your strength through the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you guys ever have those days where you've just had enough? Man, I'm filled up to here of the world, of all the headaches, of all my grandkids yelling at me, my kids yelling at me, and you feel like giving up. You're saying, what's the use? There aren't any good men or women out there. My job just sucks. I'm going to find a new job next week, but a good job just isn't out there. So I don't really care what job I get anymore. Why take those painful radiation treatments when I'm just going to die soon and be with Jesus, right? Never forget, if you have a breath, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Paul says, in those times when you can't understand the mystery you're in, seek God's strength through the power of the Holy Spirit. Seek fellowship and comfort in the body of Christ. It's God's Spirit, see, that gives us the power we need to persevere, the power we need to endure, God's power to push through those turbulent waters that come up, and then to be the light of God's love to the world in our workplaces. But in our own strength, man, I'll tell you firsthand, we're going to fail, man, every single time. but in God's strength. According to his will and his purpose, victory is assured. Let me qualify that. Victory, though, may not always be defined by what you call victory or what I call victory, but God's will being accomplished on earth is always his victory. Amen? Amen. And this is one of my go-to verses. It's always been Psalm 28, starting in verse 7. It says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed. Save your people and bless your inheritance, God. Shepherd them also and bear them up forever." See, trying to understand the mysteries in life, they can be hard, but God's word says, first, man, just remain humble and always rely on God's strength and not your own. Verse 17, "That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." Now, the faith that Paul is talking about here is not, he's not talking about salvation here. Paul was writing this letter to already saved Christians there in Ephesus. Jesus Christ was already dwelling in their hearts. The type of faith Paul is encouraging us to have here is what's called deep faith. And that comes from living through daily with Jesus. Just, it's like that song, "Just a closer walk with thee." It's walking daily with Jesus through the trials and the tribulations, through the ups and the downs in life. Paul's prayer is that by trusting God, you'll have everything that you need to develop this deep faith. See, as we encounter those mysteries in our life, Paul says to look back. Look back over the history. Paul says to also build your faith on a firm foundation of God's love. This includes having deep roots that are founded and built up in God's love. Not only are we to be loving God with all our heart, mind, and soul, but also we're to remember how much God loves us and the price that he paid for our life. When trying to understand the mysteries of life, Paul says to find peace in deep faith, knowing how much our Heavenly Father loves us. In Romans 8:28, Paul writes, "And we know that all things work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." See, if we remember that God is the author of the mystery, the struggle we're going through, and that God works all things together for our good to those who love God and to those that are called according to his purpose, then really we can trust in him. We can trust in him in that mystery, in those struggles, knowing that he's going to work it out according to his will, according to his plan. It's humility, strength in God, and deep faith rooted in love. This is how we persevere through those struggles and mysteries in our life. And now Paul tells the Ephesians, oh, let me tell you how big God is. Verse 18, Paul says, "Oh, Ephesians, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." You know, the mysteries in life are, man, they're going to come, aren't they? The struggles. But when you begin to understand how big our God is and how much bigger our God is than any struggle we'll go through, any problem that we'll ever go through. God's love is wide enough, man, to cover all of his children, to cover the whole world. There is no one lost in his book. God's love is long enough to reach out his arm to keep you out of harm's way or to pull your grandchild out of that ditch. God's love is deep, and it's deep that he'll go to any depths to find you, to go for you. God's love is deep that he'll instill in your heart his love, that nothing can ever remove it from that place. And man, God's love is high. Oh, how the love of God, it passes all understanding. How the love is God, the love of God is greater than anything you can possess on this earth. How the love of God is eternal and will never leave us or forsake us. How much better is the love of God than anything we can ever have in this world. Love of God is better than Disneyland. It's better than chocolate chip cookies. The love of God is better than the day I graduated from college or the day I married the love of my life, my wife. The love of God is just higher than we can even imagine. And in verse 20, Paul ends this section with his blessing. It's called a doxology. It's his blessing there to the Ephesians. And I'd like you to read it with me. Read it with me, will you? Verse 20, keep you awake. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See, God, he doesn't just want us to want or to desire to do this work for us. Our God is able to do this work for us. God is bigger than any of our struggles in life. God is both the author of our story, and God wants us all to continue to grow and mature in him. You may be struggling even now, but I promise you, if you remain humble, if you seek the power of the Holy Spirit to persevere, God will deepen then your faith, and then you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes all knowledge, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word tonight. Father, you are able. We know you're able. Father, we know you are willing to help us when we cry out. Father, help us always to come with the right posture, not demanding things, but Father, come in humility. Father, give us those soft hearts that, Father, seek to please you first before we seek to please even ourselves. Father, help us to always look to your strength, man, when we're struggling. Because, man, I know for myself, I'm weak. Father, help us to seek your strength through your spirit so that we might persevere, so that we might endure in those times. Father, that we might just shine like bright lights to the world and our workplace when we're persecuted. Father, give us the courage we need through your Spirit to take on every challenge, to step out in faith. Father, we know that there's going to be struggles ahead, but we know that you will never leave us orphans, Father. You will never leave us or forsake us. So, Father, just teach us. Help us to walk in your way this week and always. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day.